Turn up the volume and grab your notebook. It's time to live life consciously. Welcome to Conscious Not Crazy. I'm Corey, your host, and a parent just like you. I'm here to share from my own experiences as a parent and educator to help you better understand the why behind your child's behavior and to provide you with tools to end all of the exhausting and unproductive power struggles. So feel proud you took the first step by tuning into this podcast. I hope this approach to parenting changes your life the way it changed mine. Welcome to Conscious Not Crazy. I'm Corey, your host, and I'm so excited to be here today. And I have a special guest. I invited Bronson Ko, Master Ko from Ko Martial Arts, to join us today. Gosh, we've known each other now 12 or 13 years because my son was 2 or 3 when we first started at Koma. So a long time ago, I just showed him, we're at my house recording in my basement, and I just showed him his black belt certificate hanging in his bedroom. So it's hanging right over his dresser. He often breaks out that black belt to show his friends when they come over too. But Master Ko, would you prefer Bronson or Master Ko?
Totally.
Okay. I'm just used to Master Ko from all the years.
Either one works.
He founded Koma, which is kind of the abbreviated version of Ko Martial Arts, in 2006. And it's a Kansas City-born martial arts and self-defense school. And he has 2 locations, one in South Overland Park and one in North Olathe now. The location my kiddos went to and myself was the South OP one. And we were actually at your old location.
Yeah.
On Metcalf. Right now, he's really at that intersection for anyone listening that's from the Kansas City area, right at Antioch and 151st Street. So great spot to be in. He also is the host of his own podcast. So tell us the name of your podcast.
It's called About Our Father's Business.
Right. So yeah, so he's familiar with this platform and I'm just excited to have him on. The reason I asked him to come on to my podcast and the reason my kids and myself got involved with Taekwondo is I really felt like we had similar beliefs and values regarding raising kids and parenting. What I notice out there in the world that there's a lack of opportunities for kids to fail. There's a lot of blaming and lack of accountability, lack of respect. So there's just a lot of things that are different and I don't like seeing what's going on. So that's why I do what I do. And because I feel like our beliefs and values align, I asked him to come on and share a little bit about his business and the culture there and just kind of how it came to be. So I'll let you go ahead and share.
Well, it started back in 2006 and I was just out of college. I've been in martial arts since I was 4. My father was my instructor. He was kind of the old school style type of instructor. And I definitely got that old school traditional way of upbringing. But I remember clearly there's a moment that I'll never forget, talk about failing my first black belt test. So testing for my black belt. And I was not even 7 years old. I don't even think I was 7. I had to do a flying sidekick over some kids. I had to jump over them, break a board, and I couldn't do it. And I remember like 4 or 5 tries later, he told me to stop. And I knew what that meant. That meant you're not passing. So I had to wait 6 more months while all my friends became a black belt after that. But that was my first moment of learning about the importance of failure. In that moment, I hated it. I cried like a baby. The next time I tested and I broke that board, it was like the best feeling ever.
Right.
So obviously that's only because I failed. But fast forward to today, we are focused on finding that balance between allowing our students to fail, but then also not allowing that to completely defeat them. Because ultimately, we don't want them to quit. If you have a student go through kind of that old school way of teaching and that experience of you got to earn it, then the consequence could be they quit.
Right.
What do we gain?
Right.
Nobody gains anything. So we think more long term. So we definitely are all about the failing, but I think it really comes down to helping them fail when the time is right, when they're ready for it, and in doses for their age, for their current situation. So that's the other thing that we're really adamant about, is getting to know each student one by one and not having some blanket approach. So if you have a student, for example, who's dealing with some sort of a learning disability or a challenge, we're not going to treat them as a neurotypical person.
Yep.
A neurotypical child. So we can't put them side by side and say, you know, this person is earning this belt, but the other one isn't. But they're both putting all the effort in. They're doing their best, following the rules. But sorry, you both are going to fail. We're not in that camp.
Which I think is awesome, because having worked at Bambini, we would talk a lot in the classroom about meeting kids where they're at. And it's great because other kids learn empathy when you have an environment like that. Like, we're not all in the same place. The expectation does look different. You're totally capable of this, and I'm going to meet you where you're at. And we're still working on this area, but it doesn't mean we can't constantly push. Getting outside of my comfort zone might look different than you getting outside of yours.
Right.
And that's real world. It's not everybody's the same. Everybody's held to the same standard, so to speak. But yeah, I love that. And I loved that when we were there. And I love how, you know, the kids have to get up when they get their black belts and have to read a letter. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that? Do you still do that? Because it's been okay.
Yeah, we do. It's maybe in a little different way, but ultimately, we have all the students who become black belts once they pass their test, that they have to get up and read kind of an essay that they wrote for themselves, outlining their whole experience from going from, you know, age three, like your son was, what we call a tyke, and now they're all of a sudden becoming a black belt. And it really helps them reflect on what was required to get them to this prestigious level.
Right.
Because I think a lot of times we will quickly forget what it took to get to where we are now. I always say this, it's like you go to sleep and then it's like you have amnesia and you completely forget what was required.
Right.
But there's so many things that, including pain and suffering, that's required if you want to get to a higher level. And for us, for our younger students, or even just our students in general, as early as possible, I want them to understand that's life. That's what life is about, is you've got to put in the pain and really suffering in order to get to that next level.
Well, and I love how you guys talk about focus on the next belt.
Yeah.
Don't look at how, because when you start, it's a process. And I went through part of that process, and I'll come back. I put it on a vision board a long time ago. They'll have a black belt. We had some life things go on and, you know, got a little derailed, but I'm close. And so I'll have to regain that muscle memory.
Anytime.
But instead of focus, I think too often in life, people quit because it seems unachievable because it's so far ahead and there's so many steps in between here and there. And one thing you guys were great about that really resonated with me, even as an adult doing Taekwondo, was focus on the next step.
Yeah.
And I use the quote a lot, don't give up better for perfect. And it's, again, just focus on those little steps that make you better instead of trying to be perfect. There's too much of a negative association, in my opinion, around failure. And, you know, as a business owner, you're going to fail over and over again. That's how you learn. That's how you improve. And it's the people that are successful are the people that just don't quit, which is what you're saying, which I think is awesome. So I was a parent that did Taekwondo, and I can speak to what I got from it, but tell me, because you don't have to be a parent. You could be an adult and go to coma and do Taekwondo, but having parents do it with their kids, tell me the benefits you see from that, why you encourage that, or share a little bit about that.
Sure. What activity can you actually really do with your child?
Right.
What organized activity, what organized sport? I mean, you can go out in the driveway and shoot around, you know, play some basketball, but I mean, that's not organized. What else is there? I know some dads do scouts with their son. Okay, but that's not really a physically demanding, consistently demanding activity like Taekwondo or martial arts is. So it's very unique in that way, where it's organized and you can both be pursuing a goal together. And a really big advantage of that is now you can kind of hold each other accountable, but in different ways, obviously. You're not going to have your six-year-old hold you accountable. But in reality, you should be trying to lead by example as a parent. So then if you're doing this together, you got to go to class, and now it's not about you and your enjoyment. Now you got to lead by example. You can't ask your six-year-old to do something and then you're not doing it alongside them.
Right.
So I definitely think there's that. And just having that shared interest, I mean, that can spark a lot of conversation. That can spark a lot of really meaningful experiences that you will remember forever. Obviously, I remember that with my father. Now it was a little different situation because he was the whip cracker. But I definitely have a lot of memories of that. And we've seen tons of parents who have gone through it with their children. They always say that this has been one of the most meaningful, memorable things that they've ever done because it's so unique.
Yep, absolutely. And I, you know, it's funny because I tell Bree, Vardy Bambini, I have more memories in her school. And I have a lot of memories at Como with my kids. I mean, even the birthday parties. If I go, when pictures pop up on my Facebook, we had multiple birthday parties at Como, inviting other families in. And I still talk about it. When I have taught these classes now for over a decade, I still talk about it because it did have such an impact. And I think as a parent, I mean, you get up to do belt testing, you're nervous. So communicating, first of all, like you said, modeling the expectation, modeling for them. I talk about that all the time. You know, it's not what we say, it's what we do. It's what they see us do. And so if I get up there and I'm like, I'm nervous, I don't want to do this, but I'm going to make myself do it. I'm going to push myself beyond my comfort zone. I'm representing what I'm asking. It's just what you said. And I was nervous because there's a lot to remember, but I just tell myself, I'm not going to die. That is literally when I'm nervous or something scares me, I tell myself that and I tell my kids that. I'm like, you're not going to die. What's the worst thing that can happen? And I love that. And that failure piece, we live in a helicopter parenting. Do you experience some of that helicopter parenting time?
Is that your own question? Last I checked, we lived in Johnson County.
I know. Well, okay, so I talk about my theory. So we were raised, like you said, your dad was strict.
Yeah.
It was kind of, this is just the way it is. Yeah. Encouraging with a tougher tone to it and pushing you, which was great. You have grit. You can problem solve. You have a lot of great skills and things you've learned from that. But in my opinion, a lot of adults had suppressed emotion. Don't be sad. Don't cry. Don't be mad. So there's a lot of unhealthy pent up emotions. And those parents are raising kids, and because they don't want them to feel the same pain they experienced, or they didn't get the emotional validation they need, they're saving their kids from all of that pain. And that comes with a whole new set of problems. So I think what you're doing is amazing. And I laugh because Harper, my daughter, she still says, because I'll bring up coming back, because she needs to finish her black belt too. She's most fearful of the letter and having to get up and speak. It's not for her the process of, look, so I want her to do that because I don't want that to be her hang up or her fear.
Tell her if that's the one thing, she doesn't have to do it.
No.
Because again, this is big picture thinking.
Yeah,
what would you rather have? Her not do it?
Yeah.
Or her do it and not do what?
I'm going to have her do it. You know what, though? I'll meet her where she's at. I know she's capable. She's done public speaking.
Could she do it in front of two people?
She could do it in front of a lot of people.
Yeah.
She's done it. And she's done other things. But I know she's capable. I wouldn't push her to do something if I thought it was too much or overwhelming.
Yeah.
So I think that's amazing. Okay, so you're a parent now. Because when I first met you, you didn't even have kids when you started Kona. Nice. And you have twins, and tell me how that's impacted maybe how you run your business or just your life as you've grown with Kona.
You know, what's interesting is I remember very clearly, I've been teaching since I was 15 years old, so just being around kids for a long time. And as a single person with no kids, I used to look at these kids and think, oh, if I had kids, I'm going to do it this way, right? And I'm going to, you know, do all these things. And fast forward to today, I can confidently say a lot of my beliefs and perspective is the same. You know, I remember parents used to always come up to me and go, you wait till you have kids.
Right.
You're going to, you know, it's going to be different. Now, there are definitely certain areas that are different, but on the core principles, the fundamentals, nothing's changed. The things like follow through, not saying something that you're not willing to back up with action. Mm-hmm. So making sure you don't say things that you can't back up. But ultimately, this is the way I see it now, is you talk about pendulum. On one side, you have the nurturer. On the other side, you have the trainer. My father was 100% trainer. My mother was 100% nurturer. So I had a good balance.
Right.
But if you're only raised with, you know, maybe today, this most lot of nurturers, mm-hmm. not a lot of trainers.
Right.
Because the nurturer is going to fulfill the emotional needs of the child. Children, even all the way up to even young adults, to 25, they're thinking with their emotions.
Right.
So we've got to help them, kind of guide them through that emotional experience when they're young. And then once they get that logic, then they can kind of handle that more on their own. But we cannot ignore them during, especially like between the ages of, I don't know, 2 and 12.
Right.
Oh my goodness. That is such a vital time. And even through high school is.
Well, because they're pretty much who they are personality wise by the time they get to be 12.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not that you can't still grow and develop right. and change, but it's much harder as an adult or a teenager to rewire pathways in your brain.
Yeah.
You're just predisposed to respond a certain way.
It's just such a great time to do that, or at least make sure that you're supporting them. But on the flip side, that doesn't mean that you just coddle them and, you know, only focus on them liking you.
Right.
Because first off, they're emotional. So they can like you and hate you literally within 10 seconds.
Yep.
Because they're just emotionally volatile. So you got to make sure that's there. But then also that training needs to be there. In regards to running the business, I feel like I've gotten a lot more patient. The little things, you know, there's a saying that says something like this. It's like, don't sweat the small things of life. Everything's a small thing. All things are small. Mm-hmm. So you really shouldn't just be stressing about anything.
Yeah.
Because they're all small things in the grand scheme of life. And that's been a huge change after having kids of running the business and how it's affected me.
Perspective.
Yes.
And I think that comes with age. I feel like the older I get, I'm just like, that's not a big deal. Like if my contractor can't come finish my, I'm like, I'm not going to get out of shape about that. And again, I'm modeling my reaction to all these unexpected or things that happen throughout the day, the things that don't go the way I wanted them to. And there's a faith piece to that. Mm-hmm. which I would say we're also in alignment of just trusting this is where God wants me at this particular moment in time. What's the lesson? What am I supposed to learn? As opposed to trying to control it or get frustrated that it's not going the way that I want it to go. There was a quote recently, and I was actually at a church, a women's event, and I love this. It says, feelings should be indicators, not dictators.
Hmm.
And I was like, that is amazing, because I talk a lot about feelings in my classes, but I just love the simplicity of that statement, which is exactly what you were saying. It's like, yes, you can be sad, you can be mad, but you can't say you hate me. You know, like that's not going to solve your problem.
Yeah.
So when the child's calm, then we can address a better way to cope with that feeling, or what's going on, or what do you need, or what are you lacking, or what are you frustrated by, or what are you scared of, you know, what it is. I think you guys do a great job of encouraging the kids. So it's like recognizing, yep, you didn't get it this time, but there's going to be another opportunity. Yep. It's like you just keep pushing through and encouraging them to keep trying. I'm just curious, when families start, because you have some kids there now too that I know I recognize that went through the program that now teach.
Yeah.
Once they get started, they really, like, what's the average amount of time, usually years-wise, that a family stays? Because we were there 9 years.
Okay. So it's not an average of 3 years.
Okay.
Yeah, we're so blessed in like so many ways. I can't even, there's not enough time to talk about that. But the exciting news is, like, even after you guys took a break, we've really dove deep into implementing our leadership program that we call our mentorship program. So essentially a 10-year-old can now start learning how to become a leader at 10 years old. This is a separate program that they join. And then eventually, once they're ready, then they start assisting class. So my daughter, who's going to be turning 11 soon.
Well, it's just going to be.
It's crazy. But for the last year, she's been assisting classes. This is the girl who is so shy, so anxious, so quiet.
Mm-hmm.
And now she's out. Literally last night, I was just sitting there watching class. And she was like, with a loud voice counting for the super tykes because they're doing their form, right? It's like a pattern. But just the fact that she was counting out loud was humongous, right, with all these parents watching. She's standing there like super professional. And this is the bread and butter of what we're doing now. We have our mentorship program. After that, we have our leadership program, which is when they're 14 years old, they can start working and they get a paycheck. They learn how to work in a very professional, responsible way. We kind of guide them, but they also get money. So during high school, right, they have a part-time job that ultimately is going to continue to support them to be a leader if they move on. But if they want to stay, they would actually have a career waiting for them. So if they want to be a full-time instructor, great. We're going to give you a healthy salary. You'll be taken care of. You don't have to go in a cubicle and sit and die in a cubicle.
Right.
Because of sitting all day, which is horrible for the body. You're moving around. But ultimately, they're giving back. They're able to model what was modeled to them, and now they pass it down. So they're training the next generation. And then after that, if they have an entrepreneurial spirit, then right now, this is what we're working on, is they can become an owner-operator.
Which is amazing.
So they can go out and, you know, literally own their own studio, whether it be here, whether it be in, you know, a different state. Let's say they would move out of Kansas.
Right.
But they don't want to let go of Kuma. Well, now we have that solution.
So I just need to bring my son back over to see you.
We'll give him a career.
I love it.
Especially since it's already a black belt.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. You might just have to brush up on a few things, but no, I love it. But yeah, it's just different. I feel like when you're able to do, and I feel like this is your passion, when you're able to share the gift God's given you, it just feels right. It doesn't feel like work. Like me doing what I do when I do my classes, all the preparation I put into it, when I'm doing the, I do it because I care, and it doesn't feel like work. And I feel like that's when you know you're doing the right thing. Well, I think it's amazing. So tell the listeners how we find you if they want to sign up or try a class, how that works.
Visit thekoma.com, schedule a free lesson.
Okay.
This is what we call an intro lesson. You can do the full experience, see if we're a good fit. If so, then we'll get them started with our white belt program. Basically, it's only 3 months, so it's a very low commitment. But it's always, for me, it's like, just come in and see what we have to offer. It's so different than what a lot of think.
Oh, yeah.
We're not about, I mean, you mentioned self-defense. That's part of it, but it's way beyond that. It's more about that character development. Like I said, we're building leaders. And ultimately, it's like, let's get some professionalism back in our society.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get some of these kids to learn that being professional, being confident too, but also humble,
right?
All of those things, you put them together, you're going to be successful in whatever you want, whatever you want to do. So there's a lot of deep foundational truths that honestly, it comes from the Bible. If I want to add that, I'm not me.
Yeah.
And that's one of our very important things that is for us is that our purpose statement is to honor God, reflect Christ. So now you don't have to be a Christian to join
the
organization, whether it be an employee or a student or parent, but those are the core foundational principles that we integrate into the business and the experience.
Well, and I think you just, it's that strong value base that has, I would say, been a huge part of your success, because in a family, when you're lacking, you talked about the nurture, but not having, what was the word you used? The enforcer?
Trainer,
sorry. Yeah. And not
enforcer.
Enforcer works too. But I mean, I talk to families about, you really need to discuss with your kids, what do you value as a family? And my family's value might look different than yours. It doesn't mean they have to be the same, but you have to have a very strong value base. Like, there are things we just don't say in this house. We are not disrespectful. And I remind the kids, like, do we do that? Is that how we treat each other? And I love it. And I love it because what you're doing creates their identity, you know, the identity that I have mental strength. I can deal with failure. Because have you read Atomic Habits, James Clear?
I have not. I've read the overview. Yeah.
Well, too often, I think you are more than a Taekwondo or martial arts school, in my opinion, because what happens is a lot of times, maybe you're a baseball player your whole life, or maybe you're a basketball player, and you do that, and everyone tells you how great you are. You're a great baseball player, and you work hard at it, and that's your identity. And then one day you stop playing college ball, if you make it that far, And now it's like, who am I? Instead of identifying with the qualities that make me a great, instead of identifying as a baseball player or a person that's doing martial arts, you identify with the qualities that make you good at that. And I think you're really good at identifying those qualities, which is why the skills the kids get in your classes are transferable throughout the rest of their life.
Yes.
So that's what I love about it. And it makes me think of his book. It's a great book. So it's really good. Well, thank you so much for coming on. And I look forward. I will see you again at COMA.
Yeah. We'll be waiting for you.
All right. Well, thanks so much for tuning in. I'm grateful to have Master Ko here today as a guest on Conscious Not Crazy. If you are liking this content, please like and follow me. And I look forward to talking with you all again. And I will be sure to put all of Master Ko's information and the information for how to take part in Ko Martial Arts, if you're interested, in the show notes. And I'll be sure to put both locations and their websites. So again, thanks for tuning in. And remember, failure is not a bad thing. It's so good for our kids to work through it. So give them those opportunities. Give them to them now. Give them to them when they're safe in your home with you, where you're there to support, encourage, and coach. Until next time, guys, thanks. Appreciate your time. Thanks so much for tuning in to Conscious Not Crazy. I hope you're finding comfort in knowing you are not alone. Parenting is hard and the struggle is real. I am forever grateful for this amazing community of like-minded parents striving to simply do better than yesterday. Until next time, keep on living life consciously. I can't wait to connect with you again soon. Be sure to follow me on Facebook and visit my website, consciousnotcrazy.com. All the details can be found in the show notes. Now go get back to the never-ending, exhausting, and yet most fulfilling job you'll ever do.